Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
News Radio 930 WBEN. It's Tom Bowerly and David Bellavia. It's Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN.
What a show. I'm going to pull a Jim Rome and just talk about how great the show has been so far while the show was going on, compliment himself on the interview he just conducted. Jim Rome loves to do that. Have you ever noticed that? Man, I was great. Great interview with Mihailu. I was so good with Mihailu. Anyway, we've got so much more to go. We've talked national politics. We've talked local stuff. We covered the Paladino-Sean Ryan situation. I want to go now and focus more on human interests. There is an article in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. It's the newspaper of record in Atlanta, Georgia. And it's an interesting article about ADHD. You know that condition? We're talking about drugs, two classes of drugs. Essentially, the Adderall class and the Ritalin class. What the study shows, and it was pretty, as far as the amount of people that conducted this survey, we're talking McLean Hospital and Harvard Medical School. They looked at teens and young people who are taking these two classes of drugs, the amphetamines, the Adderalls, and the Ritalin class of that are used, the two different classes that are used to treat ADHD. And the study showed that psychosis, which they define as the condition that affects the mind, causes a person to lose contact with reality, there is an increased risk of developing the disorder in patients taking Adderall and Ritalin. Now, this is, to me, fascinating on a couple of levels. First of all, let's look at this study. The study looked at insurance claims on more than 220,000 ADHD patients. 220,000 people that are between the ages of 13 and 25. And they started taking either Adderall or Ritalin between January 1st of 2004 and September 30th of 2015. This is not like the Convention Center survey. This is done by the National Institute of Health with 220,000 people. Now, according to this study, researchers found that one out of every 486 patients that started on Adderall developed psychosis that required treatment with an antipsychotic medication. One in 1,046 patients that started on Ritalin developed psychosis. Now, think about this. I don't know what you do with your people in your life from 13 to 25. Some people swear by Ritalin. Some people swear by Adderall. Some people take a pill and their lives are changed. This is not a judgment about pharmaceuticals. It's not a judgment about the companies that make the pharmaceuticals. But is it not the time to look at numbers like this while we talk about gun violence? And you show a constant connection between psychotic events and the fact that a majority of these people, well over 85% of recorded mass shooters, are on one variant of Adderall or Ritalin. You would think that that would be a part of the national discussion when we're talking about gun violence, when we're talking about mental health. There are other things that this study also showed, that the development of psychosis appeared in people who had recently began taking the Adderall. It all seems to point towards Adderall being the larger of the two classes. When you look at the amount of folks that are taking the Adderall, one in 486 of them develop psychosis. But the other thing is that that happens in the first 5 months. They start to decline after taking that medication. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that it's the wrong diagnosis? Does that mean that they don't have ADHD and they actually have something else? And once it's diagnosed that they have something else, they put them on an antipsychotic. Or does it mean that the Adderall or the Ritalin is causing the psychosis? This is for a future study, of course, and I'm sure we'll find that answer out in 14 years. I mean, that's how long the study took to survey. But what do you think of that? Do you think there's any connection between ADHD medications, Ritalin or Adderall, and the slow decline into psychosis? 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBN. You can text us at 30930. We got our eye on that Transit Road crash, southbound lanes in front of the Eastern Hills Mall, which is now the Eastern Hills apartment complex. And it looks like a car and a sheriff's car are involved, and rescue folks are there. We hope everyone's okay. But we'll keep our eye on that, give you updates on that with traffic. But when it comes to ADHD medication, again, I don't want to get into a conspiracy. I don't want to talk about the pharmaceutical companies. I want to know if you have this in your life, if you're against these ADHD medications, if you think it's a failure to identify properly what ADHD is, and whether or not we're missing the diagnosis. I'd love to hear from professionals who work with mental health as well. Why is this not more talked about? It seems that anytime we talk about gun violence, I mean, the New Zealand Prime Minister, right out of the block, they're passing, you know, semi-automatic rifle legislation. They're going after handguns. They're going after magazine capacity. But there is a common denominator in a majority of these shooters, but no one seems to want to address that because there are people that like taking a pill and do see success with the prescription plan that their mental health provider or their doctor puts them on. It's, to me, it's not an indictment on pharmaceuticals. It's not an indictment on mental health professionals. But I do find it odd that when we have a discussion like what we're attempting to have now, there is a road to psychosis. And it's been proven by McLean Hospital and by the Harvard School. What is it? The Harvard Medical School. Again, according to the National Institute of Health, 220,000 people, these are patients with ADHD, between the ages of 13 and 25, between January 1st of 2004, September 30th of 2015, 220,000 kids, 13 to 25, diagnosed with ADHD on medications, either Ritalin or Adderall. The Adderall showed that one out of every 486 patients that were taking Adderall developed a psychosis that required treatment with antipsychotic medications. And one in 1,046 of the Ritalin patients developed a psychosis. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that the medication is what caused it? I mean, that's what this study is showing, that your chances of developing a psychosis increase with the use of either Adderall at a much higher rate than with Ritalin. But again, do you believe that this is just we're not diagnosing ADHD? Think about it. When you were young, you always had a spastic friend. Maybe you were a spastic kid. Tons of energy. You're like the squirrel in Over the Hedge. You're just like constantly moving around. You know, don't give him sugar after 10. He's like a gremlin. He'll lose his mind. Don't do it. That was a part of growing up. There was always that one kid that would end up, you know, biting a piece of tile in the gym. Or there was a kid that would just run around and be silly. And you think, well, you know, some kids are born that way. Then we learned about the spectrum of autism. And we started to realize that there's so many people that were undiagnosed that could fit into that. You know, maybe as an adult, you looked at yourself and said, you know, there could be Asperger's. There could be full-blown autism. What, you know, now that we know more, you're able to diagnose more because you have this education and people, there's not a stigma anymore. People aren't ashamed to say, this is what's wrong with my child or this is what could be a developmental disability. But when it comes to the medication, you know, it's one thing if you're born a certain way, there's a chemical imbalance, there's a bipolar situation going on, there's a schizophrenia situation going on. It's another thing when it's ADHD and the medicine becomes the gateway into the more serious psychological conditions. And what this study is showing is that out of 220,000 13 to 25-year-olds, according to the National Institute of Health, research by the Harvard Medical School, research by McLean Hospital, in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution today, the article shows that kids on Adderall, 13 to 25, within 11 years of being observed, show that one out of 486 patients that are on Adderall develop psychosis, and one out of 1,046 patients on Ritalin develop psychosis. And again, you've heard it every time there's a mass shooting. What, this kid's on Adderall. This kid's on Ritalin. I wonder what's going on here. Is it a misdiagnosis, or do you believe that that drug, those drugs, those two different drugs used to treat the spectrum of ADHD are actually responsible for the psychosis? And what do you do after that? What are you supposed to do? Do you stop taking the drugs? Do you believe, I mean, is this something where medicinal marijuana kicks in? What have you experienced in your own life? 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBN. We'll take your calls. We'll have this discussion. Did a little politics, did a little local. Now we're going to do traffic. That's what we do here. Sean Murphy's taking your calls. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Phil Kennedy's doing a lot of other stuff with buttons. Our engineers fixed our microphones. And Brendan is doing traffic. Tom Puckett's doing news. Nobody has sandwiches. All to my great dismay. You know, ADHD is one of those things where you don't really know if the diagnosis is wrong, right? What if there is a chemical imbalance? What if there is, whether it's a bipolar disorder, some sort of, psychological issue that's misdiagnosed as ADHD? But this, again, it's hard to believe that in 2004 to 2015, there were that many misdiagnoses. And the other thing is that we're talking about a group of 220,000 people that were pulled out of their insurance claims that are on these pharmaceuticals, Adderall in particular, and Ritalin, the second class of these drugs that are treating ADHD. And one out of 486 Adderall patients develop psychosis. One out of 1,046 patients develop psychosis that were taking Ritalin. And every time we hear, not every time, the vast majority, it's over 80% of people involved in these mass, shooting events, they have something to do with those two drugs. Those two drugs will pop up all the time. Like, what is the common denominator? Oh, it's video games. It's politics. It's access to guns. You know, whatever we want to use in the national debate, the Parkland kids, they shave their heads. They go on CNN. They go out and they have their town hall meetings. But how many of those kids, if one in 486 people are leading to complete, psychosis, I don't know. Do you blame the pharmaceutical company? Do you blame the doctors that are making these diagnoses, and are they screwing them up? You would think that in 2004 to 15, we know enough. I mean, autism, one in 10 people are in the spectrum of autism. And that wasn't a statistic 30 years ago, 20 years ago, because really no one really knew what autism was. And the other thing was there was a stigma to it. If you had autism or you had a child with autism, maybe you were embarrassed to talk about it. Today, there are so many different options out there. There are so many different, groups that can help you. The speech therapy. Look at where special education has come in the United States. I mean, we focus all on education, the negatives. Look at where special education has come in just the last 15 years in the United States. There were people, that if you were in that group or that school, there wasn't a competently trained teacher 30 years ago. It was basically a substitute, someone that didn't have special training. It was a matter of, you have a stigmatism or you have some dyslexia. What autism was looked at back then is not the way it's looked at today. And these are people that are getting these diagnoses. And whether you believe in the pharmaceutical answer or you believe in the speech therapy path, there are people that have a quality of life that was impossible to have so long ago. And then the great question comes, why do we have more autistic kids? Why do we have more ADHD kids? Is it the food we eat? Is it the vaccinations? Then we get into the conspiracy land. And that's not where I'm comfortable going, because this study is brand new. It's on the front of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. It's talking about, again, well-vetted, the National Institute of Health, 220,000 patients diagnosed with ADHD. You know, the groups that are taking Adderall, the groups that are taking Ritalin, these are the two classes of the drugs, the amphetamines that they give to people with ADHD. One in 486 people taking Adderall or a version of Adderall develop psychosis. One in 1,046 of the Ritalin or the Concerta version of Ritalin, that is developing into psychosis. Nobody wants to address that. Welcome back to Bowerly and Bellavia. We'll take your calls at 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. You've been very patient, and I appreciate your patience. I will reward your patience. Here's our first call coming up. Susan in Elma. Susan, you're on WBEN. We're talking about ADHD, the study that just came out. It's on the front page of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Talks about the two classes of drugs that used to treat ADHD, Adderall and Ritalin, and other generic forms of those two, and how it shows that National Institution of Health took 220,000 kids from 13 to 25 over 11 years and found out that one in 486 kids on Adderall develop a psychosis. One in 1,046 13 to 25-year-olds that are on Ritalin develop the same psychosis. What do you make of that, Susan?
All right, I have a couple things. First of all, I think you're thinking of ADD, not ADHD, which are two different things.
No, it's ADHD.
Okay. But I definitely believe that whether or not they have that or not, I think it is very possible that the medication is the cause of the psychosis.
So what does that mean? When we look at these, I hate to bring it always back to the violence of an active shooter, but there are a lot of stats that show that a lot of these people that have committed these atrocities, the one common denominator is that they're all on some sort of pharmaceutical. And when we look at why they're on this thing, if it leads to a mental breakdown, why are we uncomfortable with having that debate?
I don't know. I never realized there was a connection there, or they had this.
Oh yeah, it's crazy. Now, if you have I don't think this is a thing about. Some people swear by pharmaceuticals. Some people are against them. But if you are in a position where you take them, or you believe that they've changed your life, what would you take a report like this? Does it change your mind on what, I mean, that is that a, does that mean that these kids don't have ADHD and they've been misdiagnosed? And then of course, if you give the wrong medication to someone who's misdiagnosed, well, bad things are going to happen anyway.
I don't think they're misdiagnosed necessarily. I think some people are just reacting to the medication differently. And I'll give you an example of marijuana, and I don't know why this has never come up when they talk about legalizing marijuana. I, through personal experience, and I've known other people who have actually been diagnosed paranoid schizophrenic and have been on antipsychotic meds, only later to find they ended up calling it a cannabis-induced psychosis.
Cannabis-induced psychosis.
Yes.
And that was from a pill form of some version of cannabis?
Taking marijuana, smoking it,
No, I keep, this is just a matter of time before it becomes legal in New York State. We've seen all the things that are happening in Colorado and elsewhere.
So how many people are going to be running around with?
Well, I mean, that's the thing. If you're going to murder someone and you smoke a joint and you still end up murdering people, is it because what you took, you know, caused you to do it, or what you took the edge off what you know is to be deviant activity anyway? You know what I'm saying? It's the chicken or the egg. What comes first? Is it?
And I think people react to it differently. I mean, millions.
Oh, absolutely.
Of marijuana and have never had a problem.
Well, absolutely. The majority of folks, I think you're absolutely right. It's curious though, because you see this a lot with, you know, down if you're in a combat situation and you're about to do something, the American military is coming down the street. You are going to probably do drugs because that's a really stressful situation. These tanks are coming. The American might of the military is knocking on doors. You want to take the edge off the anxiety you feel. Does that make you better at doing the act that you're about to do? No, it actually makes you more disconnected. It makes you, yes. But people do it to take the edge off.
Right, but no, I don't agree with that.
Yeah, no, I hear. Thank you for your call, Susan. Appreciate your participation. Kate in West Seneca, you're on WBEN. Go ahead, Kate.
Hi, David. My response to the study, because I've been involved in other studies as a mom with children with ADHD, is that sometimes you don't know all the details. So there could be outliers and details, you know, they may have had other neurological issues, because most of these kids with ADHD, they have second neurological issues. I mean, when you're dealing with the brain, you're dealing with a lot of different things. But I can tell you from experience, my oldest son is now 18. He was in a study at UB for 3 years to see if early intervention could help decrease the need for medication, decrease the need for services at school. And what we found, and we were really hesitant with medication, but he had daily report cards every day, and they would make them so that they were obtainable goals. Because what most people realize, you can't just tell a child that struggles. You can't do... You know, you have to follow instructions. You can't interrupt. But what
exactly
you say, you're allowed this many so that they can meet the goal, and they decrease the amount that's listed. Well, over a period of a year, he was having a very difficult time reaching goals, and they would make it easier and easier, and they realized he needed something else. But the thing, too, what people, you know, I get a lot of criticism about medication. But you have to weigh the cost-benefit. If that child isn't medicated, can't do well without the medication.
So what are some of the criticisms you have on medication?
Pardon me?
What are some of those criticisms?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
You said you had criticisms on some medication. What are some of those criticisms you have?
Well, as a parent, you know, you're dealing with your child out in public, and everybody has an idea of what is right and what is wrong. But, you know, there are initially, well, I try not to listen to anybody anymore. But as far as medication, some children, if they're not medicated, they're going to do worse in school. They're going to have poor relationships in the family, and they're not going to be able to make friends. So if the kids fall in that, you know, realm, they're not going to be happy individuals. So weigh the cost. So do I want to deal with it when they're younger, take the parenting classes, get them in as many services, work really close with teachers, and give them the best fighting chance? Or do
that's so important. Kate, you just really hit something that's so important, because it's, you know, whatever works. It's to me, it sounds lazy to come up with a solution. It's, you know, well, whatever works for you is the easy Dr. Laura, you know, fix for everything. But the true fact is, there really isn't a doctor out there that's going to tell you, if you give medication to a child that becomes a zombie, all of those manifested insecurities are now amplified, because it's like no one wants to talk to a zombie. There's a noticeable difference in this child's behavior because of the meds they're on.
Well, yes, but that's a matter of finding the right medication as well. We were fortunate with our son. We started while we were at UB on half the dose of what most people start with. And we started very, you know, and he was a big kid. But it has to do with the level of impairment, not the size of the child. It's different than a lot of other medications. And honestly, we didn't see any side effects. But honestly, along with the medication, help from schools, for us, one of the most important things to do with our children. Now, I have three kids. It's obviously hereditary. The most important thing people need to do is keep trying activities that the children like and makes them feel better about themselves and increase the level of self-esteem. Because that is what gets through. And
self-esteem is huge. You're absolutely right. Kate, you sound like a great mom, and you're on top of it. Good stuff.
Yeah, so the study itself, I just feel as though you could have had 1 in 400 people with psychosis.
Before they were diagnosed with ADHD.
ADHD.
Yeah, no, I agree. No, I'm not going to defend something I didn't do myself, but you're absolutely 100% correct. All of these studies are like this. We just heard about this with baby aspirin. We heard about this with Oprah. Some doctors will tell you this is the way to go. This was 220,000 people, a little larger study. But you're absolutely right. We don't have enough information to make anything out of a talk show. You know, we're not going to certainly do anything at the New England Journal of Medicine based on this report. Really good point. Someone also wrote, thank you, Kate, for your call. Someone also wrote in that you could find reports that show that 3% of the American population will develop a psychosis at one point in their life, which is, you know, that's someone that other people say. Other people mention that kids under 18 are rarely diagnosed with a specific mental illness anyway until they're 18 years old. So ADHD becomes a good catch-all for a lot of doctors. And this is from the text board. Someone else wrote in that we don't know if these kids already had a psychosis, were misdiagnosed with ADHD. All the things I brought up in the previous segment, absolutely true. We don't. And when you read a study like this, you can reflexively say, what does this mean? Now, we do know that antipsychotic medication, not the ADHD, amphetamines that we're speaking of, there are other antipsychotic medication that some other people have used that have been involved in mass violence. But again, did they have the manifestations of a mental illness before? Did they stop taking their medications? Just because you're prescribed a medication, it might work great. And then you stop taking your medication because you don't have any of the symptoms that caused your mental illness. You stop taking them. Guess what happens? You regress. The brain changes, the chemicals, they make you do things. You're not in sound mind, and you go and you commit something that you wouldn't have if you were on the medication. So all of these things that you bring up in the listening audience, I'm 100% with you. I'm just saying, aren't you not fascinated by this study? 1 in 406. Is it the medication? Is it something else? Or is it the third column, which is, I need more information? And I think a lot of you are saying. Let's go to Austin in Amherst. You've been very patient. Austin, you're on Bowerly and Bellavia. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, David. How's it going?
Real good, man. How are you?
Good. I turned on the radio, you know, kind of midway in between that topic, but I want to talk about something more of a personal experience.
Yeah, go ahead, man. Whatever you want.
As a young kid, I was on ADHD medication. I started out on Adderall, and then I went to Concerta up until I was 15. And later in my life, at around 18, I developed severe anxiety, social anxiety, and things.
How long after?
Entire life. So I kind of believe that maybe, you know, hearing you talk about that the medications can develop a psychosis.
Now, how long after were you taking the medication that you felt that anxiety?
Pretty much right away, as soon as I stopped taking it.
Hmm. So what the report showed was that 1 in 486 develop a psychosis when they take Adderall, and 1 in 1,040 take the Ritalin. But with the Adderall, they found that the symptoms happened immediately after taking, within the first 6 months. And they looked at 220,000 kids, 13 to 25, and they looked at them for 11 years. So it's a pretty good, you know, growth study, 11 years, Harvard, National Institute of Health. But it sounds like...
Leave it.
But I don't know if the anxiety is, you could classify that as a psychosis, or I don't want to put you in any box, but you had,
right, no.
You felt different though.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, definitely. And, you know, and I'm 23 now. And
so what do you do now for your ADHD?
I don't take anything. I personally, I don't think that I even had anything. My stepmother put it on. That's another story that doesn't need to be on the air. But
no, listen, though, this happens a lot, Austin, where, you know, kids are kids. And sometimes, you know, we go through different phases hormonally. We act a little weird. You know, people want to blame the food. People want to talk about puberty. But
right.
If you just start medicating every kid that, you know, does what they do, you're going to be medicating a lot of kids. And it's, you know, we don't have a lot of long term studies on what this does to kids.
Right. Because, you know, like you were saying, kids change, kids act different growing up, and nowadays everybody just wants to pinpoint it or blame it on some sort of disease and medicate them. And I
don't know if that's healthy. I really don't.
It can't be. No.
No. I mean, it you know, we sound like we're old, you know, old grandmas right now. These kids, you know, it's never healthy. But it just doesn't sound right. It doesn't sound like, you know, that any – you look at opioids – I was reading this study that was done on opioids, and I just assumed that when they were prescribing opioids to everyone, that they had an idea that there was a long-term solution to put someone on such a heavy opioid. And it turns out that there is none. No doctor anticipated giving someone a prescription for 25 years of a powerful opioid. And it's just something that, well, it works for you, and you can live your life with it. Let's continue to do it. You know, we don't know what this does to our livers, our kidneys, everything else. There's a ton of acetaminophen in these drugs, you know, across the board. I'm just glad you're healthy and that you're not on meds.
Yeah, no, me too. And it's good that, you know, we have studies like that because we don't know long term what these drugs can do until.
So Austin, if you got older and had kids and they were running around and, you know, biting dogs or whatever, would you be, because of what you went through, would you be a little bit more patient to think maybe, you know, maybe not just automatically put a prescription?
Some time to grow up a little bit more. You know, I don't think that people should be putting these young, very young 8-year-old kids like I was on these medications because they're just kids, you know?
I just 8 years old, so young to be putting anything, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's crazy. It really is. Austin, I'm glad everything worked out, man. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks, David.
I appreciate it. That's Austin in Amherst. 8 years old is really young. It's really young, but who knows? I mean, I'm sure for every Austin out there, there's an 8-year-old kid that is doing something that's really alarming that needs to be on meds. So, you know, what do you say? What are you supposed to do? I don't know. Good topic, good calls. We're going to stay with you for another hour live on the air. We're going to go around the world. We're going to listen to some news. We're going to hear some sound. We're going to give you some updates on everything in the ABC News file.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.